It's no longer the time for you to have a child, because we were talking about, well, I was talking about, I don't know if you guys agreed with me or not, perspective and objective. What's the objective of having a child at the age of 90 anymore?
Yes.
The child cannot bond with that parent. The child cannot relate to that parent.
They would
parent.
Not have enough of those parents.
Yes, and they would not have enough of that parent. That is so important.
Yeah.
The mental, psychological needs of that child will no longer be met by a 90-year-old borderline senile.
That's fine. I've got a great grandchild who's old enough to pretend to be that child's father.
What's the objective of my point is, you know, the objective, the self-growth that comes with having children, the sense of selflessness, sacrifice, serving a greater objective, stepping out of your ego in order to serve another creation of Allah. All of those objectives are now out of the window.
Let's go for a little break. We'll be back in no time. Dear audience, stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So, welcome back to your audience. This is Arab English Radio. We are having a discussion in your Back to Reality. So, it is too late sometimes for something. Like,
definitely.
What about education?
Never. There's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min al-mahdi ila al-lah, right? From your cradle to your grave, go and acquire knowledge. It's never too late anymore.
There's actually a really beautiful story of this great scholar who, towards the end, he was like learning his entire time, studying. So he gets really old. He's like literally on his deathbed, right? And he discovers an entire new library.
Mashallah.
Like a brand new library. But this library is in a totally different language. The guy starts learning the language.
To be able to
And so his,
it.
Yeah, beautiful. And his students come to him and they go, why are you doing, you're like, you're going to die tomorrow. You're like 90 something. And he goes, well, you know, he expressed these same sentiments about studying from the cradle to the grave. It's an act of worship.
So except for education, I guess, time's sometimes late, too late for many things.
Because even then, I would argue that you need to study at least the core basics at the prime of your life when you're young. As well, you know, because there are also a hadith
in order
that
to make use of them, to
practice because
them.
There's a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He says that, look, when a youth learns, it's as if he's a sponge absorbing everything. But learning later on in life, when we're old people, is like trying to write on water. That's really scary.
It is.
Oh, man, that's
But
terrifying.
Then if you've trained yourself to learn all your life, your mind is more receptive to knowledge and information.
Well,
but then again, there is that whole thing of some basic knowledge was meant to be acquired at the basic age of your life.
I'd say that those who are good at learning, even when they are old people, are those who were exceptional at striving for knowledge when they were younger.
Well, and something, I guess it's in the nature of human beings. We leave things for a time which is very late and then use this quotation in order to soothe ourselves. Because sometimes, for example, if you talk to a person who's been doing a sin constantly, then you ask them, why don't you go back to God and why don't you go for repentance? And then they would answer you this way, that, okay, I'm young right now. I have plenty much of time. I could do it in any time that would come. It's never too late.
It's
I
so
can
good
do
that
it.
You pointed this out. Repentance is one of those things that it's never too late to do. It's never too late to repent.
Yeah, you're right. But then at the same time, don't we have verses or sayings where it says, al-an, like you're repenting now?
The
now
quicker
that you've
you
seen
do it,
the
better. Does he say, I won't accept it?
No.
Exactly.
He doesn't. You're right.
He just says, now? Yeah. Really? For sure?
Even that what the heck is like, you know, it's showing that it's a little bit late. But I mean, if Allah...
There's no, I should consider this. I just wanted to point out this very point that we are not immortals. There is no guarantee that I would see tomorrow. Maybe today that I'm doing that sin and I'm so happy that, okay, it's not too late. I would have time to do it the other days. I would not even see the other day. That's what I'm saying.
I have to say this now. In Greater Sins, this hadith is recorded. It's really, really beautiful. There's this guy on the Day of Judgment. They're all commanded to go towards the hellfire, and they're all, you know, really, really reluctant. Obviously, clearly, they don't want to go into the hellfire, and they're very, very terrified of it. There's this one guy who, as soon as he's commanded to jump into the hellfire, he runs, he sprints towards it, and he just throws himself in. And then Allah saves him and says, "Why did you just do that?" And he says, "Now, after witnessing your glory and your greatness, I just once in my existence wanted to obey you. And for this, Allah says, you're going to Jannah."
It's never too late to repent, because that's the point. Back to objective. The objective of creation is for us to return to Allah. And Allah seizes every chance, opportunity, excuse, every window.
See, talking about opportunity. We shouldn't let go of those opportunities and believe that, okay, there is time for me.
Yeah, of course. Amir al-Mu'minin,
you should seize them.
Opportunities are like clouds in the sky.
Exactly.
The thing about clouds is that they're so swift and they're so quiet.
They're not going to stand
right?
there forever.
You lift your head one more time and you're like, where did that lion-shaped cloud go?
It's gone.
It's gone, exactly.
Yeah, it's gone.
What else is it never too late to do? So we covered repentance, education.
It's never too late
marriage,
to do the dishes.
Marriage, find love.
Yeah.
It's never too late to do the
certain
dishes.
Chores, they never go away.
Yeah.
They're just always there until you do them or die.
About that dishes thing, there's a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it's makruh. It's not recommended to leave the dishes undone in the sink, nor the garbage left at night in the house, or the clothes unwashed. Because even the clothes have tasbih, and when they're dirtified, they can no longer praise Allah, and that bums them out.
And in doing
am I the only person
things,
who does this occasionally? Can we not make this about me, like leaving the dishes overnight and...
No, man, you're a father of two. It's totally fine.
Three.
So also we have that hadith which says you should hurry up in doing the good deeds. You should seize the opportunities for doing some good deeds. خير العمل.
I think there's a hadith from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. His Eminence says that a good deed you did not rush into doing is like you haven't done it at all.
Yeah.
Oh, there's also another hadith which says that you'll get two rewards. One
Beautiful.
For rushing towards it and one for actually doing
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
And then there's, you know, the adhan itself. Hayya ala al-falah. You know, rush
Hurry
towards
yourself.
Sowing the seeds. Because you're sowing the seeds for the hereafter, right? They're going to grow into trees and plants and,
Hopefully.
And metaphorically
very nice.
Speaking. But, you know, you're supposed to rush towards good deeds.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to postpone and delay evil deeds.
Exactly. You have to grab the opportunities and make the best out of them. So we can't say that it's never too late.
Picking up a new hobby. It's never too late. Unless it's a hobby that might actually put your hip out. Because you're an elderly person.
Yeah, but I guess sometimes some special sort of hobbies have some certain age.
Guys, hobbies that would put your hip out.
In case there's like really old people listening.
Like, which I doubt. Who'd listen to not even 35-year-old greenhorns.
Like, somebody who likes to complain a lot. These youths think they know everything. Lecturing me, change the channel, you know, but there should be some things that they're not, because I think that whole category, when we're old, a lot of things are going to, it's going to be too, I can't start surfboarding anymore when I'm 70.
I know. Hobbies that put your
hand out. I know. So I'm just saying, like, what is it not too late to do
painting.
When you're old?
Painting. Picking up a new instrument, painting, drawing, coloring.
No, your hands, then they would shake and you can do painting.
It's all right.
Except some special sort of paintings.
It's art, sweetie. It's art. That's the beauty of
art.
That's why I think I specified it to this field. Or like pottery.
pottery, know? Yeah.
Gardening.
Mm. Gardening, yes.
Yeah, all gardening of these are is hobbies very soothing. That you can do when you're even older. But for our age...
So it's
age,
never too late to plant a tree or a flower.
I think that's an expression too. And also, if we are really considering our actual audiences and not their grandparents...
Mm-hmm.
Our audiences are within the age range that it's still not too late for them to do anything.
Yeah, guys, it's
whether
not
it's
too
marriage
late.
Or a child or a hobby or education or a degree or change your career, do it.
Yes, do it and don't let it be too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't let yourself to go cross that bridge in which you're going to say, okay, it's too late.
Yeah, I'm done with life now.
Yeah.
But then I feel like that bridge is becoming closer and closer as the generations
really
goes forth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Okay, so my dear audience, we were speaking of the fact that it's never too late, but have it in your mind that sometimes it really is too late. So do not let things for the last moments where there is no more of time for you. Do it at the time you feel you have to do it. And thank you for listening.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed pitch. Valerie actually tried to remove the tank, but ultimately because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. The preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the seafloor bottom. But it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Summer heat is here and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. A Pairi d'Azur zoo located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their knack for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will get the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning, but he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There, they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I am your host, Zainab. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, "The man who does not know the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant." But in this program, we try to make sure that you get the maximum information about the Imam of your time so that we do not die the death of an ignorant. Today, to discuss about Mehtaviya, to discuss more on du'as, we have with us in studio Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Dr. Karimi, in our previous session, we talked about the Dua Ahad, the content of Dua Ahad, and you explained fully how Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what he says about this dua in the narration, and this narration from Imam Sadiq that the one who recites this dua for 40 consecutive days will be among the soldiers of Imam. Even if he is dead, he gets revived. Gives a kind of hope to us, to all believers, that yes, we have to perform our part of the duty. Allah is promising us a lot of things. Then moving towards the content, you explored a lot of things in the content. The main thing, the most important thing was monotheism. We found tawheed, we found oneness, we're describing different attributes of Allah in the dua. So yes, we had some remaining portion from the content of dua. I would want you to continue with that.
Thank you for that summary. Yes, after that part, we also said that in this dua, we update the covenant between ourselves and the Imam. If you're updating your covenant with the Imam for 40 days, I believe it will change your life drastically. It changes our attitude toward the life. And maybe that is the reason Imam Sadiq alayhi salam explains all those rewards for reciting and reading this dua. It's not only about repeating some words in Arabic without understanding. No. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam expects us to, when we say that Allahumma inni ujaddidu, oh Allah, I'm updating the covenant, then it means that, so what that covenant is all about? What are my duties? What are my responsibilities? Maybe we can say that only in that case we would be among the people that would be revived after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. There are some supplications like Allahumma ja'alli min ansarihi wa ahwanih. Oh Allah, please do make me of his supporters, defenders, and those who hurry in carrying out his instructions. Now, many people may claim to obey the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam, but the concept which is put emphasized on in this part is al-musari'ina ilay, those who hurry in carrying out these instructions. So many people may obey the infallibles, but some people with delay. Wal-mumtathilina la'awamirih, those who comply with his orders. وَالْمُحَامِينَ عَنْ, those who uphold him. وَالسَّابِقِينَ إِلَىٰ إِرَادَتِهِ, those who precede others to implementing his will. وَالْمُسْتَشَهَدِينَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, and those who would be martyred before him. Now, the next part is directly related to the concept of Raj'a that we talked about in the previous session. We say that, O God, if death that you have made inevitably and certainly incumbent upon your servants, so it's referring to the concept of death.
Yes.
But then please do take me out of my grave, which is referring to the concept of Raj'a. And then the dua explains about the future. So as I mentioned, this is one of the Islamic beliefs. It's not only a Shi'i belief, it is rooted in the verses of the Quran. And this part of the dua is directly referring to the fact that, O Allah, if I'm not alive at that time after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, please include me among the people who would be revived based on the concept of Raj'a. The next part of the dua refers to some other supplications, the fact that the grief of all the people would be removed only by the reappearance of the Imam.
Imam.
Allahumma kshif hadhihi al-ummata an hadhihi al-ummata bihudurih. O Allah, relieve this community from the current grief through presenting him, through the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and hasten in his reappearance. And the last point, innahum yarawnahu ba'idan wa narahu qariba. This is a very profound phrase in this dua. They, which is also referring to a verse in the Noble Book of Quran, surely they think it is very far off, but we see it very close and nigh, referring to the fact that as Shia, as Muslims, we need to be always hopeful about the future. We see it, we consider it as nigh. Barahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. And then we repeat al-ajal, al-ajal ya mawlaya sahib al-zaman by putting our hands on our thighs. So this is a very general picture out of the content of this dua.
All right, Dr. Karimi, thank you so much for such a beautiful translation and the explanation of the content of the dua. We'll be back after a very short while. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
Dear listeners, we have with us Dr. Karimi, who is explaining about the content of Dua Ahad.
The next point, which is related to Dua Al-Ahd, is that there are a couple of other Duas with the same content, but they are not that related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. For example, among the Duas that are recommended to be recited after the morning prayer, and interestingly, this Dua has been quoted by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The first part of it is Allahumma Rabban Nur al-Azim, so very similar to Dua al-Ahd. And in another part, we say that As'aluka an tusalli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And finally, it ends with Wa an tufarrija anni kull gham wa ham. O Allah, I ask you to relieve from me any kind of sadness and grief. Wa an tu'tiyani ma arju, and to give me what I'm hopeful of. This has been mentioned by Sheikh At-Tusi in Misbah al-Mutahajjid. There is yet another dua which is about monotheism and at-tawheed, and it is highly recommended to be recited in the holy month of Ramadan at the time of iftar. Again, it begins like dua al-Ahd, Allahumma Rabban Nur al-Azim wa Rabb al-Kursi al-Wasi', and ends with Wajma' lana khayr ad-dunya wal akhirah bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. And the last dua, which is similar to dua al-Ahd, is the famous dua which begins like Allahumma balligh mawlaya sahib az-zaman salawatullahi alayhi. And according to some scholars, it is a kind of summary of dua al-Ahd. And it's been quoted by Ibn al-Mashari in Al-Madar al-Kabir, page 662, that it is recommended for the people to recite this dua every day after the morning prayer. But as I mentioned, it's a summary. So we begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send our blessing to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Again, like Du'a'ul Ahd, we are not selfish. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send blessings on behalf of all
everyone,
the,
us.
Yeah,
we're all using it in a plural form.
Exactly. Jami' al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. And the ending part of this special dua is Allahumma hadhi bay'atun lahu fi 'unuqi ila yawm al-qiyamah. O Allah, this is a covenant upon me until the day of judgment. So this is a very important point, and I think this is the most important part of the dua. The fact that every day after the morning prayer, because many believers used to recite Du'a'ul Ahd every day after the morning prayer, we come to this understanding that we, first of all, we do have a living imam. Many days pass without notifying the fact that, paying attention to the fact that we do have a living imam and we have some responsibilities to our team. There is a covenant, there is a kind of ahd between us and the imam. So this is showing the importance of reciting Du'a'ul Ahd every day. And when the imam says that you do it for 40 days, we know that we have narrations about the importance of 40. And when you do one action for 40 consecutive days, maybe it can change your attitude in a way that you may act upon that in the following days as well.
Yes.
So you may not continue to recite the dua, but for sure you will continue to remember the content of the dua because you have repeated the content for 40 days.
40 consecutive days.
40 consecutive days. It's highly recommended for us. It will take maybe less than 10 or 5 minutes, but we need to pay attention to the content. Please, it's not only about repeating some Arabic words. No, we need to pay
attention to the content. To what the dua is saying.
Yeah, and one of the most important parts of the content is that covenant. There is a covenant, and it is referring to the fact that, first of all, we remember that we have a living imam, and we need to wait for him, we need to pray for his reappearance, and do our best for hastening the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which requires us to act upon our responsibilities, doing our obligations, and being away from the sins and acts of disobedience. So this is a kind of a short explanation about the content of this dua. And as I mentioned, mainly we need to pay attention to that part which talks about the covenant. Let me share one narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about Salman. He was asked why the Muslims and you remember Salman a lot.
Yes.
We know that Salman is one of the people who is called Minna Ahl al-Bayt. He belongs to the progeny of the Prophet, yes, the Ahl al-Bayt. So by reading Du'a'ul Ahd, we are also trying to be the same, to be from the Ahl al-Bayt and to be among the army of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his
reappearance, inshallah.
And Imam said that Salman had three features. And one of them was that إِثَارُهُ هَوَى أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى هَوَى نَفْسِهِ. He used to prefer the wishes of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, over his own wishes. And this is very important.
All right.
We are not talking about, material wishes or vain desires. No, Salman is not a person like that. When it comes to our responsibilities, sometimes we need to do, we have one important task and one more important task. So Salman was a person that always he preferred wishes of the Imam, meaning that whatever Imam Hadi alayhi salam wanted him to do, he used to do that. So if you're going to be among, the Ahlul Bayt, and there are some narrations in this regard, for example, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam says that good to those people who live at the time of the major occultation, including us, hopefully, and they are holding fast to our wilaya, to our guardianship, and they are away from our enemies, and they are from us, and we are from them. So
right.
There is a big chance for us to be also like Salman from Ahlul Bayt. But the point is that we need to pay attention to that covenant, which is repeated in Dua al-Ahd, if we, of course, continue to recite it on a daily basis, hopefully.
Yes, you said so beautifully. You explained the entire content of Dua al-Ahd, and then you pondered upon the duties we have. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamari that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher, an introduction to the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia dignitaries, scholars, and ulama all across the world of Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion to discuss the life and works of Sheikh Jafar Shushtari and his magnum opus Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahdavi and Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum and thank you.
And Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
As I said, today we want to talk about Sheikh Jafar Shushtari and his outstanding work Al-Khasais Al-Husayniya. Before getting to this book, Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with a brief biography of Sheikh Jafar Shushtari.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we are approaching the days of sorrow of the martyrdom of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, so I would like to express my condolences on this occasion to our listeners and our audience. Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari, as you mentioned, is one of the great scholars whose name is associated with one of the influential and outstanding books regarding Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is called Al-Khasa'is al-Husayniyya, and inshallah we will talk about it. But this great alim and a scholar, I mean Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari, is born in 1230 according to lunar calendar in the city of Shushtar, yes, almost southwest of Iran.
That's right.
This city is known with the name of our famous scholar, Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, yes, that alhamdulillah we see in the biography of Sheikh Ja'far, he benefited from Sheikh Murtaza Ansari when he was in Najaf. But as it is mentioned in his biography, while he was in Shushtar, he started his scholarly life starting from the Muqaddamat and at the beyond, these preliminary things that must be taken for all those students who are entering the Hawza or seminary. So when he was done with these preliminary things, he left Shushtar to Najaf with his father and almost 25 years stayed there and benefited from the great ulama, namely Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, Sheikh al-A'zam, Sahib al-Fusul, Sharif al-Ulama al-Mazandarani, and then he came back to Iran.
That's all right. Thank you much, Sheikh Mahtavi. Okay, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, let's get now to the other aspect of this called the life of Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari. He compiled so many outstanding works, but Al-Khasa'is al-Husayniyya becomes his magnum opus up to an extent that his name, I mean Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari's name, is coinciding with Al-Khasa'is al-Husayniyya. And it seems that there is a story, or let's say, we can say background of how this work was compiled. What is the story?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. As-salamu alayki wa abdullah. As-salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the beginning, it must be indicated that in the past, when scholars focused on the life and times and the main events in the life of an infallible imam or an infallible dignitary, they mainly focused on the project for the sake of the religiosity and the kind of piety available in such work. In contrast to our present day situation, when a great majority of people may want to focus on such projects for a kind of worldly benefit.
Yes.
And this is a great distinction.
Fame. Fame,
yes, or making,
right,
making a name. In this regard, it must be indicated that the late Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari has been exceptional in this regard. Another aspect is that, according to an anecdote, repeated here and there, and the original version was told by himself, that is by the late Ayatollah Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari, we find that, he wanted to develop a book on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, but, one evening, he dreamt, the scene of the Karbala and the Eve of Ashura.
Yes.
And in the dream, he was a guest of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and some of the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And in his dream, he received a special kind of sweet from, yes, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, prepared at the instance and order of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And he tasted just a little, yes, bit of that sweet, and he got up, in full surprise. He noticed that he has already received the full inspiration to develop such a book, and he devoted himself to this line of scholarship.
And of course, they say that Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari was a really high-status scholar.
Yes.
But the only weak point that he had in life was his addresses on the minbar.
Yes.
He was not that much powerful.
Yes.
That was for the visitation to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He asked him that, O Imam al-Hussein, O Allah, give me this power of speech so that I can present good sermons for you on the member. Yes. And after this dream, and after Vikasa Kampala and such a work, we can say he got this power up to an extent that the addresses on his member were so many.
Yes.
And the most influential sermons and the rosas and the, we can say, speeches were given by Sheikh Jafar Shushtari for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This was really a blessing and the mercy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on this Sheikh.
Yes, and I had it also from, a person who was a resident in Tehran, and he related it to me that in his youth, according to some sources,
yes,
either this person himself or his father,
yes,
noticed that when the late Sheikh Jafar Shushtari was invited to Tehran in the Qajar period in order to deliver some sermons,
yes,
thousands of people,
yes,
In Tehran before, yes, almost 100 years ago.
In Parmenar Mosque, they,
yes,
say. Yes,
they gathered together, yes, over there in order to hear him on, mm-hmm, delivering, this
His
kind
speech,
of,
yes,
hot speeches.
Yes.
And, such people, when they are very influential and successful, it must be indicated that it isn't all due to their own individual efforts,
yes,
rather they must have received another, impetus and another energy from,
yes,
somewhere else.
Up to, yes, an extent that the first day sermon and the member was cancelled.
Yes.
Because the Sheikh couldn't find a way through the population into the member. See, it was so much crowded,
yes,
that if the whole, we can say, the program was cancelled. And for the second day, Sheikh Jafar could go on the member. And this is really great. Okay, Sheikh Mahtavi, maybe some of our dear listeners and most of them do not have much information in English language about Al-Khasais Al-Husayniyah, this outstanding work, which is, we can say, the production of a blessing, of a mercy of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam to the author himself. What is this book exactly, and what is the main content of this book?
Okay, as the title of the book suggests, I think that is a good picture for our audience if they only pay attention to the translation of the title of the book, which says Al-Khasais Al-Husayni. Al-Khasais,
yes,
is a plural form for khasisa, meaning characteristic or feature. So the plural form features or characteristics or special
attributes,
yes,
can
attributes
say.
Of,
yes,
Imam Hussein, yes,
yes,
that's right. So this is what the title of the book suggests, and the author has tried his best to collect something around 300 attributes of Imam Hussein and classify all these 300 attributes into 30 chapters, in which right now, unfortunately, we don't have access to 18 chapters. Mm-hmm. Only we have access to the 12 chapters. Yes.
You mean they are not published yet?
Yes, not published,
okay, or not found.
Not missing.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have clear information on what has happened upon that. But regarding these attributes, we have to say it starts from the beginning. The childhood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and then his martyrdom, his merits, people who accompanied Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his types of worship on the day of Ashura, and the other attributes.
That's right.
So it could be regarded as a kind of encyclopedic book for his time, mm-hmm, even up until now.
That's right.
Why? Because if our listeners want to get some information, they can just open this book and benefit from his saying in this word. And nowadays, it is really, really, really famous.
Yes.
It is, I can say, most of the times when you go to the majalis of,
yes,
Imam Hussein alayhi salam, specifically when it comes to the part of the matam or musibah,
yes,
you see that the radud or the one who is reciting the musibah is saying that Sheikh Jafar Shushtari is saying in his book.
That's
so
right.
That specific part that will affect the, mm-hmm, listeners has been quoted from this noble book, which shows the position or the place of
That's
this book.
And it's very much comprehensive, because Dr. Fakhrani, it starts from the birth of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the special miraculous aspects of the life up until the day of Ashura, and after that, in the post and pre-events of the day of Ashura and the month of Muharram. How did you find the book? You yourself are a researcher on Ashura studies, we can say, and the history of Karbala. How did you find this book?
Actually, to the best of my knowledge, because I've read both its Arabic original plus several Persian translations of it, and it might be interesting for you to know that just a couple of times I've been suggested to translate it to English.
Yes.
As you know, because of other projects and academic obligations and commitments, up to now I haven't found this opportunity. However,
but it's one of your favorites.
Yes. Upon studying the book, I found that in some earlier parts of the book he talks about Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, but as he proceeds in the book, he comes and compares Imam al-Hussein al-Salam with the divine prophets, with pre-Islamic prophets.
Okay.
And for example, in the case of Job, Ayyub, he comes and he compares patience and forbearance of Ayyub in contrast with the patience and forbearance of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam.
Very nice, very beautiful.
Or with regard to, for example, Jesus Christ, regarding the merciful attitude to everybody, including his enemies. He compares Imam al-Hussein al-Salam in contrast to Jesus Christ. And any time he compares Imam al-Hussein al-Salam with any of the pre-Islamic prophets, based on delicate and accurate evidence, he deduces this conclusion that that's Imam right. al-Hussein al-Salam has already been, much superior than all the pre-Islamic prophets.
So al-Khasais can also refer to the divine attributes
of the
prophets,
certainly.
But all of them, we can say, collected in the character of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam.
Yes.
That's all right. One of the most, as Sheikh Mahtavi also said, authentic resources regarding, we can say, the life of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, compiled by Sheikh Jafar Shushtari, because of the special look that Imam had at this outstanding, as I said, making him from maybe a weak speaker, or better to say, addresser and member, to one of the most powerful ones during the history, who was a mujtahid, at the same time, a very strong and influential addresser on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Okay, any missed point?
Maybe since we are approaching the days of Muharram, for our listeners to benefit more from these days, I may quote one short part of the introduction of his book.
Good.
Allama Sheikh Ja'far al-Shushtari is saying that when I looked at all means and instruments and tools that we are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save ourselves and reach salvation, I realized, although we have a lot of things, we are given a lot of things, but Imam Hussein alayhi salam and everything which is affiliated to Imam Hussein is the best way of saving ourselves. That's why I dedicated my life to have such a book, to collect his characteristics for all those readers and listeners.
Yes.
And as we see, most of the time he dedicated his life to be regarded as the speaker, the one who is giving lecture on the membere Imam Hussein, meaning that he himself at the first was resorting to this means that we are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us during these days to benefit from the opportunity of the hayaat and majalis al-Husayniyah.
And he was a man of passion, I think, plus knowledge, and this made him very much sincere. That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhr Rouhani and Sheikh Mahtavi, for your presence in the program. Teacher, talking about Sheikh Ja'far Shushtari, the author of the magnum opus, Khasais al-Husayniyah. This outstanding man passed away on Safar 28, 1303, according to the Lunar Hijri calendar. His body was taken into the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam and was buried in one of the main courtyards or room in the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information on this program and our previous episodes, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode and introducing another Shia Alem who produced the work on Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي.
وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا
Yemeni men, firm faith. Part 1.
Big dreams burn down in these flames. The dreams of a young man who wanted to conquer the world with petrodollars and an iron fist. On June 21st, 2017, international media reported that a silent coup was underway in the corridors of power in Riyadh. King Salman, the ailing Saudi monarch, deposed Mohammed bin Nayef.